Hey, podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast. On today's catch-up...
Should Brad let his daughter's boyfriend stay over?
The Bunnings sausage sizzle debacle.
And the guy with the axe in his hand, yes, wonderful guitarist Steve Lukather from Toto.
Oh, let's talk about what toys should be in the Hall of Fame too.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
This Big Breakfast catch-up is for the new Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blanket.
You've got mail.
Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
You've got some mail.
The Mix 94.5 mailbag is here, in which we get people to send in their mail and their dilemmas, and we'll try and sort it out if we can.
Yeah, head to mix.com.au if you've got a dilemma and give us that in the mailbag, and we'll try and sort it out. This is quite a difficult one.
Yeah, we're not going to lie. The mailbag's been pretty quiet for a bit. I mean, just saying, if you've got, we do want to hear from you. So just
you're supposed to say we cannot answer the number of letters that we're receiving.
No, but I want people to write because we got this letter from Brad and it's the first one we've had in a couple of weeks.
It has been a bit quiet.
Your marketing degree was a waste of time.
Maddie, I've got to be honest. I've got to back Kimber up. It has been a bit quiet. People are busy joining the Mix Club.
No, they are. Yeah. They are. Should we do this one?
Yeah. Let's sort out this problem for Brad.
Okay. Brad is a 48-year-old father of three. And his eldest daughter, who is 17, has obviously, got boyfriends. And he has a dilemma because she's been seeing her current boyfriend for 3 months.
Oh, I'm glad you said current boyfriend. You said boyfriends.
Oh, no. He just says that she's reached the age that she's, bringing boys home, et cetera,
et cetera. He's not reading the letter. He's just reinterpreting it.
I'm paraphrasing it, but I'm paraphrasing it accurately, which is an oxymoron. Anyway, so the other day she asked me, his words, Brad. Mm-hmm. The other day she asked me if it's okay if the boyfriend stays the night.
Right.
To be honest, it freaked me out at first, says Brad. But the more I think about it, the more I'm unsure what to do. I don't want to push her away, but I don't know if I'm comfortable with them sleeping in the same bed under my roof. So my question is, should I let my daughter's boyfriend stay over? His daughter is 17.
Okay. Thanks, Brad.
Excellent.
Good
excellent
on you, Brad.
Question.
This is a big question and one that we've talked about not so long ago too because, Clancy, you've got a teenage daughter and so you've had to go through that.
Absolutely. But I also have a different take on it because Madison doesn't live at my place. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So certain elements of that question are out of my control.
Okay. But how does that, as a father of someone of that age, what's your immediate reaction to that?
My immediate reaction at very first was a freak out. But that's part of that thing which I think I explained when we last talked about it, is you as an adult and as a parent, you have to grow up at some stage. It's your second phase of growing up, I think, when you realise that your children, and this one in my world is just a little older, turning 18 now, that you have to get over it and realise they're getting on with their life.
Well, also, I think what Brad's talking about, because he's saying this is about not just accepting that she's got the boyfriend, but allowing them to stay in the same house at night.
In the same bed.
Yeah, because then you feel like you're an accomplice.
Yes.
You are an accomplice to the fact.
And that's why parents can't grasp that.
Yes.
I think it's totally fine. My family were very cool about it.
Yeah.
We had grown-up conversations and my parents went, okay, well, don't abuse the privilege. This is how it's going to work.
Yep.
And so I was allowed to have boyfriends stay over.
Yep.
I felt like we just dealt with that according to, the maturity of your child and the space that they're in and how your household works.
And I think, Brad's alluding to the fact that he knows what, his daughter and her peers are getting up to, and he would rather have that done in the protection of the family home rather than, out and about in, wherever.
Or just randomly in the tall grass at Groove
and
the Move.
That's what I'm stretching. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The tall grass at Groove and the Moo.
You know what I'm saying?
I think you're both giving great advice.
I'm with you, Casey. It's okay with me. They're becoming adults and, what are you going to do?
Well, that's it.
They're going to run it. Yeah. Go somewhere else or go somewhere that might be a dangerous situation or
potentially,
place.
Potentially,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But, we'd love to hear your thoughts. We know that there's listeners out there that would be dealing with this themselves. So help Brad from Kelmscott. He wants some help.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
You've got mail.
Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
You've got some mail.
Okay. Quick recap of the mixed mailbag. Brad from Kelmscott, he's a father of three, and his eldest daughter, who is 17, has asked if she can have her current boyfriend stay overnight, presumably in the same bed.
Yeah, boyfriend's been around for 3 months.
He's been around for 3 months, and Brad's asking what he should do. Let's go to Mandurah. John, what should Brad from Kelmscott do, buddy?
Yeah, well, I reckon he should allow it, because that way you've got a bit more control over it. And, you know, if you're not going to allow it, then they're going to go behind your back and, you know, do it anywhere else. So at least you've got some level of control over it, and it's a bit more safety for them.
Yes.
John, have you had to go through this yourself? Are you a parent?
Yes, I am. I've now a proud grandfather for the first time.
Oh, congratulations.
There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, we did it with our daughter. For the first week, we allowed the boyfriend to stay over, but in a separate room.
Sure.
And then after that, we let them stay in their own room. So it gives you set some boundaries. That way you've got a level of control, and you try and build some sort of trust with your daughter as well. But you've got to have some element of trust about it.
It's also different, John. You know, if the girl happened to be bringing home, you know, a different bloke every couple of nights, that's different. As a parent, I would be going, you know, put the foot down there. But if it's a regular
it's
boyfriend.
A boyfriend, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly right, yeah.
Okay, cheers, John.
And also, happy birthday, Kimber, for yesterday.
Hey. Oh, thanks, mate.
Good on you, John.
Oh, that's very kind. Thanks.
Yeah. Kimber, as a birthday gift, you're allowed to stay in the same bedroom as your boyfriend.
Thank you. Nicholas in Gidgee.
She is. G'day, Nick.
Good morning. How are you going?
Good. What do you think about this dilemma for Brad from Kelmscott?
I say no, because we just went through, well, not just, but we went through it with our daughter about when she, on her 18th birthday, she wanted her boyfriend to stay the night.
Mm.
And just as my husband and my sort of rule was that we wanted them to be 18,
mm-hmm.
both of them. And it was a respect thing for us, and she totally respected that. And we said, no, we would prefer you both to be 18. And she said, okay, no problem, no questions asked. And for us, it's just been an awesome relationship that we've had with her. And, you know, she respects our decision and we respect what she wants. And it's been good.
Well, that's lovely, because, I mean, that's sort of what John was saying too. Regardless of which way you go, as long as there's a communication and respect going on, then, you know, that's what you want.
Yeah, and she's still with the same guy now, 8 years later. So it didn't have any impact on their relationship whatsoever. They're, you know, building their own house now. And
Nicola, do you question at the time too? I mean, as a parent, do you go, well, if they are going to be intimate with one another and it's just not going to happen in my house, is it just because you didn't want to be someone who was supporting that action, or is it because you just sort of think, oh, you know, it will prevent, if we say no, it should prevent her from doing that?
No, because, I mean, I don't know if she was doing it. I'm assuming she was.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, probably opportunities throughout the day that we weren't home.
Sure.
Yep.
But we also have a younger daughter, and I just didn't think that, you know, she needed to be there at that time for that.
Yep.
You know, for us it was just pure respect, and we just,
well, it was
a decision that my husband and I had made together.
It sets the precedent.
Well, that's the house rules at your place, and everyone should respect that.
It was the same we sort of had with drinking. You know, we told her if she was going to drink at a party, she had to have that alcohol with us at home
prior
to going to the party and saying, you know, so that she knew what it was all about.
Mm. Nicola.
Appreciate your call this morning. Let's go to Alex. Now, firstly, Alex, how old are you?
16.
You're from Wattle Grove, and your mum has given permission for you to talk today. Now, what about this situation for you? How does this affect you?
Well, I feel like if, you know, your daughter is comfortable enough to come to you and ask you about it, that you should feel privileged that they went to you, because I know so many kids who would not even ask their parents. They would sneak him in or do anything to not tell their parents. So if you are told, then you should take that advantage, let them do it, and be there. Like, if something happens, something goes wrong, then you're there. Your immediate response is, because people, like kids my age, they will go out and they will find ways to do it. They will, you know, sit on a park bench, like wherever they want. I mean, just because it doesn't happen under your roof doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. And Alex, you had that conversation with your mum as well. Your mum was, it's been an open chat?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, being open. Hey, your mum, Kate, is there. Kate, good morning. And what's your take?
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, thanks for not only permission for Alex to have a chat, because she's 16, but how about your take on this situation where Alex is talking about the openness of the child?
I think it's really important. Alex has grown up being able to talk to us about anything right from the word go.
Yep.
And when we have had these conversations, I've made a point of saying to her that if you are, when you feel that you are ready, I would rather that you did it here at our house, where if you need help, you can come to me, but also so that I have that open dialogue where I can talk to her about protecting herself, protecting her boyfriend, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If I can't have those conversations with her, then I'm not sure if she knows what she has to do to protect herself.
Yes.
And make sure that everything goes well and is good, rather than it being a difficult experience that doesn't end well.
Yep.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Great.
Alex and Kate, thanks for your time this morning. Ladies, have yourself a great day. The news is next, and after that, the massive summer score. We're adding something else to it right here.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Can you believe that the iconic Bunning sausage sizzle is all the news this morning?
It certainly is. Tell me what's happened.
Well, apparently there's a change underway for safety reasons, because people are saying that having your, you know, when you put your sausage,
yes,
in your roll here in WA, apparently in a piece, a couple of bits of bread at Bunnings around the rest of Australia, if you're putting the onion on top, it's actually dangerous because the onion can fall off onto the floor and people can slip on it.
So it's all about the onions. People are suggesting that, yeah, if you put the onions on first and then the sausage on top, there'll be less danger to people slipping on fallen pieces of onion.
Containing the onion.
I believe that's the Bunnings suggestion.
Okay.
Yeah.
That they're saying it's all fine to keep the onions, but just put the onion in the bread first with the sausage on top and it should be fine.
Yeah, bloody it's hell. All over breakfast TV. In fact, 133353 if you want to have a comment on this. But this is what Channel 9 said on the Today Show.
Bunnings is being forced to change the classic sausage sizzle.
What? Oh, come on, Georgie.
There are some safety concerns. Now, look at that there. You can see how perilous that looks.
What?
Well, it's all about the onion. It's all about
what
the onion.
What are you talking about, Georgie?
Well, the suggestion from Bunnings is that by placing the onion on top of the slippery sausage, there's a risk that it can fall out and you could slip.
Carl Stefanovic going a bit Benny Hill on us there, and this is from Sunrise this morning.
Fun fact, WA actually serves their sausage on a roll. Ooh. Not a slice of bread, so maybe that'll be considered a safer...
We can't all be as fancy as WA.
Yeah, damn straight.
Please.
Yeah, we're going to keep our roll and we enjoy it.
I can't believe there's such controversy over where to put the onions in a roll. I'm like, you're eating a product where you get bread, onions, meat and sauce for less than $2.50. You don't even know what you're consuming. I don't think you're in any position to talk about the layout.
As in what's in the sausage?
I've got, like, seriously, you're getting all those products for under $2.50 and you're worried about how it fits in the bun.
And I do have a simple answer to this. Mm-hmm. I love a sausage sizzle, but I don't like watching people shove it down their throats as they go up aisle 17.
Oh, yeah, right.
When they're heading towards the garden stuff.
Can you not eat it outside?
Yeah.
Do you have to take it in with you?
Hey, Julie in Kensington, are you in the sort of same sort of aisle as Matt there?
Oh, there we go.
I didn't hear that, but I think they should not be allowed to eat them in the store.
Oh, there you go.
Buy it on your way out, or you pick them out the front of the store, or... like I said, eat them in the car and get them all over your lap.
Well, it's normally a community fundraising event, so maybe stand with your community and eat and have a chat.
Yeah, good idea.
It's a nice idea, Julie. Well,
yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, Julie, although with Claire's suggestion, there'll probably be a health and safety issue with people blocking the path.
Oh, great. On the car
you
park.
You can't do anything.
Just imagine all the time you're trying to save. You want to get through the aisles of Bunnings and eat lunch at the same time. People are too busy with their Renaults to stop and eat it out the front.
Thanks, Julie. Bill's in Swanview. G'day, Bill. What do you think about the sausage sizzle? Well, it's all over the news, mate.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe that people get so worried about it. You know, if you don't not looking where you're going,
yes,
you deserve to fall on your head.
You do.
It won't hurt it. Guaranteed, it will not harm the head.
What, slipping on not a banana peel, but a bit of onion?
On a bit of onion and falling over. If you land on your head, it's not going to hurt them.
Yeah.
Because if that's all I've got to worry about in this world, that's got a sad game. Oh,
well, double the onion.
Yeah, and I think, Bill, if this is making big news, we can assume that everything else in the world is absolutely fine. We've obviously fixed everything.
Everything's sorted.
Yeah. That's it. The traffic in Perth is fantastic. It runs great. Worry about the onion.
Oh. Nice bit of merging, Bill. Well done. In Adwell, Narelle, what do you think about the sausage sizzle onion fiasco?
Sausage Chisel fundraiser for a sporting club on a regular basis.
Yes.
And seriously, it's not rocket science. You put the onions underneath.
Right.
And the reason we do this is because 9 times out of 10, the people actually buying what we're producing are children.
Yes.
So the onions go underneath, and then, of course, they jazz it up with whatever sauce they want.
Mm.
That's their choice. But the other problem that we have is, in today's society, people are too lazy to pick anything up.
That's true.
Ah, that's an issue. Yeah.
People drop everything and they just think, oh, someone else will fix it.
Yep, so the...
Herein lies the issue. If there is something on the floor and someone slips, then we're all very quick to sue someone.
Yes.
People are actually a little bit more cautious and actually have a bit more pride in, obviously, society itself, then maybe we wouldn't have the issue with the onions and the sausages.
Exactly.
Nice, Narelle.
So,
okay, so we use the sausage as a bit of an onion seatbelt. Well done. Thanks, Narelle.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Look, this guy, he plays like a gun. He swears like a trooper. He's rocked with the best, including Ringo Starr's all-star band. His name is Steve Lukather. He's from the band Toto, and they're playing the Falls Festival this summer, so they'll be here in the end of the first week of January.
Brilliant.
Which is unreal, and with their best of coming out as well from Toto. Steve Lukather, welcome!
Hey, man, what an intro. Fantastic. I'm great. How are you, man? What's going on?
We're good, Steve. Now, look, Steve, working in radio, we think that music keeps people young, so despite being in the biz 40 years or more, how old do you feel?
Well, I have a face for radio, as they say. I feel like I'm 20 years old. But, I mean, you know, maybe even more depraved as a teenager as far as my sense of humor goes. But, you know, there is no... I can't run from my the reality of the numbers in my passport. You know?
Yes, neither.
I feel good. I mean, I'm not an old fat white haired bald guy that's, you know, pissing and moaning about his bad back. You know.
Hey, Steve, I was reading the story about you guys all sitting in a room compiling 40 trips around the sun and going back through the old catalog and laughing and crying and telling stories.
Oh man,
that must have been a wonderful moment all together.
It was a week and a half of it because we started from the very first album and went in chronological order the whole way from beginning to most recent. And it was quite a journey. And like you said, all of us remember different things of the same day. We shared the stories and we laughed, and I remembered things and they remembered things. It was really a very emotional week, both positive and sad, you know, because we lost a couple of our brothers along the way.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Things change. You know, you can hear our youth. You know, you can hear us being teenagers on the first record to maturing into older, more experienced musicians and writers, you know.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, like some of the stuff I hadn't heard in forever, because I don't sit around and play my own records. Some of the stuff I hadn't heard in decades. You know, so it was really a trip for all. We were all going, God, I forgot about this. And then we made it sound so good. We were hearing parts that were somewhat buried because of the technology in the late 70s, say, you know.
Yeah.
So, I'm in Washington, D.C. right now. We're on tour, sell out business, and having a great time. The band's playing great. We're in a great headspace.
Oh,
enjoying this, like, sort of second wind, if you will.
Yeah.
Hey, Luke, mate, we've been on a similar path. You've been rocking and I've been playing your records all these years, mate, but I just want to know if you're talking about...
Thank you.
1983 I started. Thriller, mate. When you're sitting in the studio with Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones, what is that experience like, and are they more studio perfectionists than yourselves?
About the same, really. I mean, I learned how to make records. You know, I was always, you know, when it came to doing sessions and getting a chance to work with all the greats, you know, it was like going to school. Shut up and learn something.
Yeah.
Except for the part where I was asked to bring what I bring, then I would bring in my best, you know. I had to come up with a lot of stuff on the fly. It wasn't like we were sitting around just reading dots on a paper. We got like a blank sketch with just B minor A G written on it, and they count off the song. You better play something. So you had to be very creative on the fly. This wasn't like what people think studio musicians are at all. They hired us to be creative and take sketches and turn them into final paintings, if you will.
We'll just play a little bit of this is Steve at his best. Sometimes people don't notice unless they listen to the end of a song. Listen to this. This is at the end of Rosanna. You know, like,
yeah,
he's just cutting sick.
So good. Now, Steve, musicians will often rework a song for live shows. Did the crowd ever let you change the arrangement of Africa, or is that sacrilege?
Yeah, we do it all the time. We've done it every single way you can do it. And, you know, we kind of went back to the egg and we're playing it more like the records now than we ever did. we turned it inside out over the course of 40 years. You keep changing it. But it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, we've been, you know, like I said, I mean, it's great playing the old songs in front of a crowd. People flip out. They love it. And, you know, it enables us to sneak in some of our stuff that we like to do in there, too, and educate some of the people that might not know what else we can do besides the obvious big hits. You know?
Hey, man, we look forward to seeing you down under. All the best.
All right, mate. Thanks a lot. We'll see you then.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
Getting into it this morning. It's The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber. And, of course, we're doing it here thanks to the new Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blanket. See Elite at poolcovers.com.au.
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
And guys, the news that the Toy of Fame is adding more amazing toys into their incredible setup. We're talking about 1946 is when it first started, when they featured, you know, fortune-telling experiences and the like. But the Hall of Fame of toys are adding even more things, the Strong National Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the Magic 8-Ball. You remember that thing? You'd roll it and it would come up with, you know, you'd ask it a question about your future.
Yep.
I still use one today, actually. That's how I got this job. Should I thine?
Well, that's only just been put in. And this Toy Hall of Fame has been going for some time. And the toys could be very old, but are only just going in now. So, I mean, you know, the Hot Wheels, for example, yes, they were only inducted in 2011. Hot Wheels have been around forever, right?
Oh, bloody hell.
Crayola Crayons, they only made it in 1998.
Right.
You know, they're a big toy. They were a big thing. But, you know, it's important getting into this Hall of Fame.
Uno. Is that how you say it? Or
yeah, Uno.
Uno, the Uno card game, that's been inducted.
Yes. And
Uno's the Aussie way.
You got to say that old Uno is a cracking card game because it does sort of, you know, it's like a good cartoon. It speaks to kids and it speaks to adults.
Well, and the thing is, yeah, it does. And the toys change over time. They don't always have to be expensive toys or whatever. The paper aeroplane went into the Toy Hall of Fame last year.
Well, oh, really?
Let's be honest. In Australia, they made a movie about it here in the West.
They did. Paper aeroplane. It was a toy. It was part of what you did when you grew up. It's part of the game.
And didn't another very simple item make it originally?
Cardboard
box is in the Toy Hall of Fame.
That went in 2005.
Yeah, something new at home. It might even just be a new microwave. The cardboard box gets played with for ages when the kids are little.
Isn't it? What's the toy you'd like to see in the Hall of Fame? What was like a big toy for you growing up that you thought everyone loved?
Well, I think Claire'sy and I have a similar one here, but I'll go with Test Match.
Test Match, the famous all-action cricket game. He's coming into bowl. Huh. Oh, great shot, six! Now he bowls again. He's out! Test Match from Crown and Andrews, available now.
So it had two different kinds of Test Match, weren't they?
It did, yes, yeah. I mean, we loved this. I don't know if you remember the game, Kim.
I'm familiar with it. This is where you have to move all the little men on the...
Yeah, and you have a little handle that makes the bat swing and you lift and tip the bowler.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, you know, it had to be a perfectly flat surface for your felt and whatnot.
See, to me, that was the deluxe edition. That's when everything changed, because the first one was the cardboard one where you went round with a little circle, but they were really easy to break. Like if you played about 15 test matches, you could easily break it, but the scoreboard would last forever.
Cardboard scoreboard
with a little wheel with the numbers and things on.
You know what's a really humble toy that I think should go in?
What?
The pop ball. Do you know what a pop ball is?
Pop ball, no.
Pop balls were basically a little piece of rubber, like a half crescent moon. If you imagine, like, if you cut a tennis ball in half and you used to just invert it, turn it inside out, put it on the desk and just watch it pop up.
I do remember
that
one.
How ridiculous. A pop ball. Everyone had a pop ball. It's a piece of rubber.
Yeah, it should be in there.
What about something that are just part of your childhood or part of history that your folks told you about? So you had Mousetrap and the ad went, Mousetrap!
Loved it.
How about Kerplunk? Remember that one?
Oh,
the little plastic sticks and
wait
for the marbles to fall there. Something as simple as marbles were toys in themselves, you know?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, if it was marble season at Carrot Primary, everyone was playing Dougs on the oval.
God, marbles. I've forgotten about marble season.
Yeah. Marbles went into the Toy Hall of Fame in 1998.
There you go. You walk around with your bag of marbles. Yeah? And then some people started bringing the big Tommy boulders and, you know, those great big those ball bearings.
Yeah.
Start playing with ball bearings because their dads were in engineering or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Show offs.
Marbles.
Well, give
another
us a call.
Great Stanley invention.
Yeah, go. Give us a call, 133353, and tell us what toy you think should go in the Hall of Fame. And it could be really simple. I mean, if we're saying paper planes went in there.
And it can be games like this one.
Okay, let's operate. 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 Where's the dog?
It's Operation, the wacky doctor's game where you're the wacky doctor.
Uh-huh.
Battery's not included.
The wacky doctor's game. So if you touch the sides, it goes.
I've just bought operation, well, quite recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my girlfriend's little girl, yeah.
It's a great game.
It's great.
Yeah.
I realise I didn't follow me calling.
You need a steady hand.
So give us a call and you could win a double pass to see the hilarious Jim Owen in his show, The Ridiculous. There's a second show now at the Crown Theatre Perth on sale on Saturday the 2nd of Feb, and you can grab your tickets through Ticketmaster.
Oh, beautiful. It should be a Jim Owen board game, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Enjoy the crack.
All right.
Yeah, get into it.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
The Strong National Museum of Play, of course, have announced their new inductees, this year's inductees, into the National Toy Hall of Fame. Do you guys remember a game called Haunted House, where you could build the walls of a haunted house and you could travel through the different rooms?
No.
I wanted that so much for about 3 years, and then Father Christmas brought it for me.
He did.
Thank you,
pretty,
Santa.
Pretty excited, Santa.
That sparked your interest in building.
Watching horror movies. Yeah. Terrific. At a seven-year-old.
We want to know what you think should be in the Toy Hall of Fame. Ron's in Golden Bay. Ron, what do you want to throw in there?
It's got to be the good old bubble wrap.
Oh, of course.
Bubble wrap.
Of course.
Hey. Some love it, some hate it, but everyone will have a go at it.
Oh, it's addictive. You can't stop.
I can't stop here. Sorry.
It's a nice. I like that sound effect. It's good.
So much fun, but it's free.
That's a good one.
Ron,
thanks,
that
Ron.
That is awesome. Yes, all well right. done.
Cheers, guys.
Need a job at Australia Post, Ron. Well done.
Let's go to Port Kennedy. Laurie, what toy would you like to see in the Hall of Fame?
The all-metal Tonka toys.
Oh, Tonka.
The dump trucks and all
strong.
That. I grew up playing them in the sandpit, and I still do it now as I work in civil construction.
There you go.
You couldn't break them. Here's the Tonka truck.
In 1971, we received a letter telling us that a family in America drove a disabled VW 14 miles on a toy. The toy was a Tonka truck.
The old indestructible Tonka truck.
Well, good for you, Laurie, because the Tonka truck went into the Toy Hall of Fame in 2001.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
they thought that was a winner as well. Good one.
Yeah, and it all started the boom.
Yeah.
Good on you, Laurie.
There'll be certain members of UWA Sports who used Tonka truck, was for many, many years at UWA their mascot.
They had the Tonka truck.
We used to go to all their sporting events, which is unreal.
Okay.
Let's go to Bayswater. Jackie, what should go in the Toy Hall of Fame?
Oh, a simple little thing called knucklebones.
So basic.
I remember them well.
As basic as marbles.
Knucklebones. Yeah. Were they actually made out of, bones? Did the poor kids have to take the bones to school?
Originally, they were made, like the kids in the old days used to have them out of bones, but we had plastic coloured ones.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But we still, if you couldn't get hold of any, you wait till Mum cooked a roast or something like that, you dried out the old knuckle bones from that. But we used to spend hours playing with that, and it was a nice cheap toy.
It was, and remind me, Jackie, was it putting it on the top of your hand, right, and then trying to flick it over? Is that how you?
That was one of the tricks, and then you had another one where you had to pick it up really quick or throw it up in the air and catch it and flip it around. Yeah, it was all, you got really healthy wrists out of it.
Hey, Jack, with those kind of skills, I reckon you're probably pretty good with a yo-yo as well, weren't you?
No, I wasn't.
You should have lied, Jackie.
I wasn't master at the yo-yo at all. It used to get all tangled up
Wonderful stuff.
Thanks, Jackie.
Do you think, kids of today with their Minecraft and whatever, Fortnite games, you want to play Knucklebones, love?
I'll just settle for Sims.
Yeah.
Brayden's in Westminster. Brayden, what do you think we should add into the Toy Hall of Fame?
Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Famous. And what a great name for a game. Hungry, hungry hippos. Oh, it sounds like the ad had too much red cordial, Brayden.
Very addictive game.
Yeah.
Very addictive. And I don't like that ad because I remember the original song. Playing Hungry, Hungry Hippo.
I don't remember it.
Really?
Also, just because it was a catchy name. I mean, if it was, peckish penguins.
Earworm material.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Brayden.
Thank you.
All right.
And, of course, there was a serious side to it too, highlighting the starvation of hippos.
Absolutely.
You don't need to feel bad about hippos. They kill so many thousands of people every year.
They do, don't they?
Hippos, man, they're angry, angry creatures.
What, what do they eat? Little plastic things or something?
No, they're angry.
Yeah, it was like, you know, things that move.
Oh, right,
plastic balls. They'd come out and grab it.
Yeah, the hippos and Pac-Man all satisfied with
it. Not dissimilar to the way the Kimber eats.
There you go.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Belinda missed.
Can't believe Belinda's missed this story.
Belinda?
I mean, she's busy and she's got a lot to do.
Ah, oh, really?
But... there's a lot of stories around too.
Well, look, let's set the scene for this one.
Okay.
Cue magic music.
Ooh, I like it already.
Penn and Teller.
I want to introduce you to someone special. His name is Pedro Volta.
Ooh.
Great name. Electrifying.
Like it.
Pedro Volta's an escape artist. And I want you to put yourself in Dr. Gareda Square in the Spanish capital of Madrid.
I'm there. I'm there.
And you're at the third edition of the International Festival of Magic.
Si, si, si. Third edition. Madrid. Got it.
Good evening, okay. Pedro.
Yeah.
And Pedro Volta, this is his big moment in the sun, and he's wanting to pay tribute to Harry Houdini, one of the masters, of
absolutely.
Course.
Beautiful trick, senor.
And so he's decided, I'd like to escape from a water-filled tank by wearing a straitjacket.
Ah, the Chinese water torture cabinet. I don't know if you can still allowed to say that, but that's what Houdini used.
That's what it was.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so he's in a straitjacket, ready to do his magic. And of course, magic begins. And Volta can be seen working to free himself from the straitjacket. You know, they're frantically underwater doing the thing.
May I just paint a picture?
Yeah.
Just in case people don't know, basically lowered in by the feet, so head first into a tank.
Yeah.
And then they seal the top of the tank just so people can. You know, right, it's all about painting pictures with
that was
words.
Very important.
Yeah,
that
there you
that.
Go. Radio, yeah.
Mm.
Well, you know, he's busy trying to get out of this straitjacket. and then they start to realise he might be having a bit of a trouble.
Oh,
Pedro.
No.
Might be a little bit. The time is ticking on and he's not getting out. And then they start to see him pushing on the top of the sealed tank with his head.
It's like someone
that's
who
not good.
Wasn't working on like on New Faces or some kind of show.
Well, yeah. And he's trying to grab a breath of water, but let's face it, he's in a tank. He's not getting any.
Dear.
Even a breath of air.
And then he loses consciousness and his body just floats to the top of the water. It's horrific. Everyone's in Madrid watching and he's floated to the top of the water.
Not dead Pedro.
And they ran to the top, they opened the thing, they pulled him out of the tank.
See, see, see.
And thankfully he regained consciousness.
Oh, thank God.
Wow.
Right.
He's alive?
He's okay. He's alive. He'd spent 2 minutes in the tank and then lost consciousness, and paramedics were called, but he'd already regained consciousness by the time they got there.
Right.
Where were they?
Incredible lung capacity for Pedro.
Why would you have the paramedics
You'd think they'd
on
be
site?
There. Yeah. Hey, we're doing a really dangerous stunt in the, what square was it? Yeah,
exactly. In Dr. Gareda Square.
Point. Yeah.
And he told reporters later that he had a problem with the buckle on his belt, which meant that his arm was restrained for longer than usual and it was too late to do anything.
Yeah. As it was Dr. Gareda's square, maybe the paramedics thought they already had medical attention there.
Quite possibly. It was a doc.
Poor Pedro.
So it was a happy ending, though.
It
happy
was.
End, mate. Oh, you know, he didn't succeed, though.
In the Tony Curtis film, Houdini has to be rescued out of the Chinese water torture cabinet, which is factually incorrect. Houdini did escape from it.
Oh,
you do
yes.
love your Houdini fact.
I was obsessed
you've
as a kid.
You've got him coming, I tell you what.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, we all know about the scourge of using mobile phones in our cars. Mm. I mean, we just have to stop doing it.
Just can't seem to get the message through. People don't think it matters. They jump on their phones at the lights.
She's
the
woman at the lights next to us on the weekend, and Laurie turned around and yelled at her, and she put her phone straight down. She
went,
put your phone down.
So we know we're doing it.
It did work.
And you see a lot of the police on motorbikes now. It seems like a lot of their job is sidling up very slowly between cars and looking in and seeing if people are using their phones.
Isn't that sad?
But I notice in Melbourne, cops have taken to going undercover.
Undercover.
Mm, yeah, it's a little bit weird, isn't it?
Quite the undercover move. Police in Melbourne have conducted a sting operation where they're basically posing as squeegee guys at the intersections at traffic lights. Oh, so, you know, the guys that come and squeegee your windows.
Like the guys down at Great Eastern Highway when you're getting off the poly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of big intersections where it happens in Perth.
Yeah. And in Melbourne, the cops are dressing up as squeegee guys. They're not actually doing the squeegeeing because that would be illegal. But once they see you pull up at the lights and jump on your phone, they nab you.
Okay. Well, this is going on in Melbourne. Let's find out the Perth situation here in the West. Senior Sergeant Simon Sirius, good morning.
Good morning, Clarsey. Hello to you, Kimber, and of course, a good morning to Matthew there.
Senior Series, it has been a long time since we chatted, but this is happening in Melbourne. Do you know if this is also happening in Perth?
Well, look, we've seen what the Melbourne police are doing, and we think it's an excellent adventure that they're on at the moment. We'll definitely be doing that. So keep an eye out for your crosswalk lollipop people. They will indeed be police.
Senior Sergeant Sirius, isn't this just entrapment?
Yeah, of course it is. That's what police work's all about, Matthew. If you do something, we're going to trap you. You know, if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't have anything to worry about.
Hey, Senior Sergeant, people accuse the police of fundraising out of various things, including Multinovas, but this could be a pretty handy earner.
I'll tell you what, Clarsey, our Christmas party could be better than ever before if this goes ahead. But we love doing this sort of thing. This is what makes, you know, this is what gets me up in the morning. Telethon was recently on, of course.
Yeah.
Fat Cat, that's a detective friend of mine. The cat
undercover.
That's a police officer. We are everywhere. Those people on the harnesses up and down the windows of your office having a look in. They are looking in.
Oh, there's one there right now.
Well,
yeah, absolutely.
I guess this is a chance for you to also play dress-ups. Is it sort of like a fun acting assignment for you? You get to be that guy at the window washer, create a story, a backstory for yourself?
Yeah, that is correct, Kimber. Indeed, we've had Oscar winner Cate Blanchett come into the station and give us just some, you know, vocal exercises, some inhabiting a character exercises. These days I go out when I am undercover, I know what my motivation is. I feel what my character's feeling. So, for example, when I am playing that lollipop person on the crosswalk, you know, I can inhabit that character fully, and I think that's how we catch most criminals.
Oh, in between shifts, you'll be back to the trailer. Senior Sergeant, just want to know, one more question before we wrap things up this morning. You know, next time you're in the in a squad car or even you're just undercover in a car, will you trust that person who comes up to try and squidgy your window, or are you going to think it's one of your own?
Well, I will trust him, Clarsey, because I'll know him or her.
good answer.
Bob Karen, you're doing terrific, you know, absolutely, yes. We're everywhere, don't you worry about that.
Jobs for the boys and girls. Senior Sergeant Simon Sirius, always wonderful to catch up, never too serious.
Always a pleasure.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarsey, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Think quick, win big. This is Mix 94.5's Pressure Test.
Hey, it's time to play once again. Let's go to Singleton. Lydia, good morning.
Morning.
How are you going, Lydia?
Yeah, I'm going okay, I hope.
That's good. Well, welcome to the Pressure Test. You know how it works. We give you a category, a time limit. You need to give us a certain number of correct answers before the time runs out. For each one you get right, $10. But if you get all of them, $250. Lydia, you ready to do this?
I hope so.
Okay,
Lydia, let's put 20 seconds on the clock for you. Your time's going to start as soon as I give you the category. We need you to list 6 brands of bottled water. Go.
Mount Franklin, Pump. Oh, good God. What else? No, I've gone blank.
Still got time?
No, I can't.
Can't think of any different ones, Lydia.
Only two.
Well, you know, $20, which will buy you one bottle of bottled water. You know,
actually, some places you'll get about 40 of it.
Isn't it more expensive than fuel? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you did get Mount Franklin and Pumps. So you did get the $20, but you could have gone with Coolridge,
Fiji.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Evian,
Pellegrino.
Yeah.
We would have even taken Coles Home Brand.
I wish it was yesterday. So I could do friends easy.
Yes. Oh, yes, of course.
Hey, Lydia, thanks for jumping on and having a crack at the pressure test. And we'll send you $20 as soon as we can.
Oh,
All right, thank you.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
The juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
8:42.
Hey, if you're a girl who rocks, this is for you.
Yeah.
West Australian Music, Wham, as we know it, have now got the applications for the inaugural Girls Rock WA Camp in January 2019.
Brilliant.
So this is, it's really cool. It's a program, it's a week-long day camp of instrumental instruction, band rehearsals, workshops, and just fun activities that is, you know, to try and inspire young female artists get involved in the music industry. And we've got plenty of wonderful WA artists.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got a couple here for you.
Stella Donnelly. Of course, Katie Steele from Little Birdie and Solo. Great voice. Abby May.
And honestly, the camp, it's fantastic. It takes place at Leaderville TAFE at the Industry Skills Department there from January 14 to 18. And then it ends in a showcase performance at Mojo's Bar in North Frio. So if you're interested, it's a camp that's open to girls between 11 and 17 with any level of experience on guitar, bass, drums, keyboard or vocals.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested, it's girlsrockwa.org.au. So get involved with Wham.
Cool. That's School really of cool. Rock on camp.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. Now, Game of Thrones is coming. The show's official Twitter account has announced the final season, Season 8, will air in April 2019.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. I can wait.
Oh, it's all right because winter is coming. So
I still haven't seen the last two of the other ones.
Oh,
so yeah, give me time.
The season's going to include 6 episodes. Some of them are going to be extra long epts. In fact, we're talking feature length. I'm like movie feature length on a couple of them.
Massive fan, Maddie. What are you waiting for, snow or something?
I just forget things.
Forgets to do it.
Yeah.
Well, the trailer that they've played goes a bit like this.
When you play the Game of Thrones, you win. Or you die.
Yeah, that's true.
And the trailer states every battle, every true betrayal, that. Every risk, every fight, every sacrifice, every death, all for the throne.
Yeah.
I think I just heard of death.
Yeah.
It's not dissimilar to what's gone on in Canberra over the last 10 years.
Yeah, true.
And guys, when it comes to music, here is a festival here in Perth. It's a long-standing festival. It's been run by volunteers for a long time.
Mm.
And it's in its 16th year, but it might be cancelled.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, this is no good. It's called Hyperfest. It's an all-ages concert backed by the city of Swan.
Yep.
And here's one of the bands playing, Polish Club. Come yeah, party. This
name.
Is their track. There's a great bill. It includes Ruby Fields, Sam Perry, Mosquito Coast, DZ Death Rays and Polish Club. You might not know a lot of those bands. The young kids will. They're really great. And they're on the cusp now of calling off this event because they just haven't had the ticket sales.
Okay, they need some sales to move.
Yeah, right. If you're looking for something to go to, you know, tickets are $39. We don't get to have many gigs like that. Mm. And so, you know, if you want to check it out, the City of Swan are encouraging you to get behind it. Tickets will be refunded if the event is cancelled, but it would be great to just have this happen. We don't get a lot of things to happen in Perth.
And you could take your kids.
All ages. Go and do something different. That's called Hyperfest. And also, Canadian singer-songwriter Bryan Adams has announced a Down Under tour in March 2019.
He's running to us.
Yeah, it's the Shine a Light tour, and he's supported by Mahalia Barnes, Jimmy Barnes' daughter.
Yeah.
And Bryan Adams will be performing at A Day on the Green at Kings Park and Botanic Garden on Wednesday, the 27th of March. Tickets are from $120 through Ticketmaster.
Oh, good. That doesn't get in the way of Game of Thrones it's in March.
No,
that's
that.
Fine. Yeah.
You're writing all these down?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Bryan Adams, Brian Ferry, a few people playing Kings Park. You have to be called Brian, though.
Yes. Yeah, Brian Mannix.
Yeah, Brian.
That's your daily juice.
Brian Wilson.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Cobra, Cannington, Malfun, Girraween, Joondalup, Eastvik Park, the places between. Home is where the heart is and that's all good. Let me tell you all about it, Matt's Hits from Your Hood.
So time travels very, very quickly and Safety Bay, the Matt's Hits from Your Hood song, well, it's history now, mate.
It is. Gee, it was fun. I'm going to try and get in 2 before the end of the year.
Okay.
Oh, two more suburbs.
So right. We're going to spin the wheel now and that will drop not this Friday but next Friday.
And then we'll
and
have
then
2 weeks
the final one. Yes.
Okay.
So let's just do this. So spin the wheel.
Okay, give it a go.
Yeah, right. Go for it. Manny's moving just, across the wheel.
I'm just seeing how it's feeling. All right. Here we go.
All right, let's go.
Spin the wheel. Gone for a different direction this time, Maddie.
Yeah, you know, you got to mix it up.
Mixing it up.
Still going. It's moved.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, one my God. Kimber, the big teddy bear. Well
stop
done.
Stop it.
Oh, my God.
Beckenham.
Beckenham. The old hood.
Beckenham.
That's You've been. Cool. This is like your dream. Maybe you don't do two now. Maybe you just end on this big one. This could be the big one.
I'm speechless.
Could be a two-parter.
You've got all your material already.
Well, do get on Facebook, fellow Beckenhammers.
It's written itself, but we need some help.
It's been a long time since Matt lived there.
I'm already having a flashback.
Are you really?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Hey, what's the name of that street you're always talking about? Is it Mars Street?
Yeah, I lived on Gravity. Right, yeah. They've got Mars.
Mars, yeah.
Galaxy Way, Lunar Court.
Oh, now you're talking.
Oh, yeah, they definitely run out of ideas.
I really want people to put ideas up for Beckenham because I feel like otherwise you're going to take creative license and just make it all about growing up there.
Yeah, probably will.
I quite like that. David Bowie, Life on Mars.
Oh, that has made my morning.
Okay.
Beckenham.
Go on our Mix 94.5 Facebook page and give your feedback on Beckenham to put it in the song.
Going up the BMX track.
It's all about the pronunciation too.
Yeah.
Beckenham.
It's Beckenham.
Yeah. Anyone got some stories on Matt? We want some dirt.
No,
yeah,
God,
get in
don't
touch.
Do that.
Yeah, just send it to Claire Z at Mix.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast. With Claire Z, Matt and Kimber.
I think we need some suitable, dark magic music. For comedy magic from the captain.
Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
Yeah, I see police have recovered a set of stolen golf clubs and arrested one man, but they're still looking for the driver.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for the new Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blanket. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.